Welcome someone this morning. Glory to God. We've been looking at tongues and you. And people have questions in their hearts. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, start from verse 1. Paul, by the Spirit of God, begins that chapter by saying, "Now concerning spiritual brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And so we're looking at tongues and you because they are questions. And as long as there are questions, you cannot fully exercise your faith. And so the aim of it is, Paul says now concerning spirituals, and the word spirituals, and the word gifts there, if you're reading King James, the word is italicized. So what he really speaks about is that, concerning things of the spirit, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. It looks like a paradox because the word brethren is the word adelphos in the Greek. It speaks about those who share a common parentage. You come from the same womb. You are from the same source. Which source is Paul referring to? He's referring to the Spirit. So you are born from the same womb of the Spirit. He calls you brethren. So he's not talking about a natural connection. He's talking about the spiritual connection. In other words, we proceeded from the same womb. We came from the same parentage. We have a common source. Now it says, concerning things spiritual or things of the Spirit, I would not have you ignorant. Again, the reason why we sometimes look at the Greek meaning of words is because the original intent of the writer is communicated better to us when we look at what does the word ignorant mean. It doesn't necessarily mean what it means in the word in English language. The word ignorant here actually means to ignore a fact, to look away from a reality, because sometimes because of cultural bias and sometimes because of what you were once used to. If you keep reading, look at verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Look at verse 2 now. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. It says, "You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto this dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." Can you see that? So, wherefore, I give you to understand, or I'm giving you understanding through the teaching of the word, that no man speaking by the Spirit of God, that is speaking under the influence of God's Spirit, we never say Jesus is accursed, and no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So concerning things spiritual, people have asked questions. Is it necessary? Is it compulsory that I must speak in tongues? There are old denominations in the body of Christ today that do not believe that speaking in tongues is still for us today. And so contrary to their beliefs, we have to look into God's word. We don't say they are wrong. We just look into God's word together to see, is it necessary? Is it important for you and I to practice speaking in tongues? Would it be, if it's something that's not so important, would Jesus mention as one of the signs that follow those who have believed? Would Jesus mention it that way? And then we will have old chapters written by the apostles explaining the benefits, the importance, and the functionality of when it comes to utterance gifts of the Spirit. So let's go back to Acts chapter 2 rather. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2 again. In Acts chapter 2, we look at the beginning. That's the early church, when the early church began to show forth the virtues of the risen Christ. How did they begin? In Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to read again from verse 1. There was an experience that they had. Beyond the experience, something continued with them, which can be found throughout the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, I read from verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Notice the use of language. Cloven tongues like as of fire. Whenever you see the phrase like as of, that's a figure of speech. It means the best way to describe it is it looks like fire. It didn't say it was actually fire. All right, so that's the figure of speech. And it sat upon each of them. The word sat means rested. Now, verse 4 is where we're going. Look at verse 4. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. Now, the Holy Ghost is an unseen personality. Now, Luke is writing like a journalist. He is journaling events that took place. And so you have to allow the use of language, and you have to look beyond what he says to understand what is he trying to actually communicate. So when he says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak, we said the one hand there is not a conjunction, it's an explanation. In other words, what he meant is this: they were all filled, that is, they began to speak. Because the word filled doesn't mean you pour something into an empty container. The word filled actually is the word to influence. So they were all influenced with the Holy Ghost. That is, they began to speak, or how did we know they were influenced? It was in how they spoke. That's what he's trying to say. Are you with me this morning? So they were all filled. That is, they began to speak. So the speaking is what showed that they were influenced, or they were filled with the Spirit. That's what he's trying to say. So they were all filled with Holy Ghost. That is, they began to speak. So you can put it this way. The speaking is a feeling. That's important. And notice 120 people, they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Look at verse 5. And this is where the questions usually arise. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem. Jews, always read it patiently. In Jerusalem, they were dwelling Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. But they were Jews. It means Jews in diaspora, they came for the Feast of Pentecost. It was an annual practice. So, but they were Jews. Now, if we say people are Jews, can we say they speak the same language? Let's read on. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man had them speak in his own language. The way it is written, you would think he speaks about individual languages. No. First of all, it tells you they were Jews. That is, there's a commonality when it comes to language. Now, let's read further. See what it says in verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue when we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, Crete and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works. Notice, they speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one thing to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said. So the group was divided. Some were confused, some were in doubt, some were saying, what does this mean? In other words, they knew it must be a sign of something. 120 people, we hear them speak. What we hear them speak is the wonderful works. So all of us agree what they are saying is the wonderful works of God. Pay attention to those phrases. Now, others mocking said, these men are full of what? New wine. We won't focus on that today. Look at verse 14. But Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice. So hitherto, Peter was seated. The 11 were also seated. They were speaking. The only commotion was in how they spoke and the fact that all of them were inspired. So you could say this way, it was a church service. But it was not what you call an isolated church. It was a part of the temple where the other Jews worshipped. That place was called Solomon's Porch. Hallelujah. You know, people commonly believe that they were in the upper room. This is not the upper room. The upper room was like an hotel, a place of lodging where they were. They were not in the upper room at this time. At this time, they were in Solomon's Porch, which is a section of the temple at Jerusalem. So that's where they were gathered. Now, Peter stood when he saw the questions. In other words, they did not just continue. Peter got up. Peter was at that time the head of the church. And he said unto them, you men of Judea, again he tells you these people are Jews. You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be known unto you, notice, and hearken to my word. So notice, the experience is not sufficient to explain itself. Peter is about to bring context and scripture to explain the experience. So Peter says, you need to pay attention to what I'm about to say. Look at what Peter said. Look at verse 15. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. Third hour of the day to the Jews, 9 a.m. in the morning. So the day of the Jew begins at 6 a.m. in the morning. That's the first hour. So the third hour means 9 a.m. So they have been speaking for about 3 hours. Now, look at the verse 16. For this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. The explanation of Peter sheds a bit more light for us to understand what took place. What is generally believed by people? That 120 people were speaking in tongues. Listen carefully. What is commonly believed? And God caused the multitude to hear individually in their own language. How exactly is that possible? That's commotion. What it looks like they were doing, they spoke in tongues. And then God now caused the hearers. In other words, we assume the miracle happened in the hearing of the hearers, isn't it? But look at Peter's explanation. Let scripture explain scripture. Look at what Peter said. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Did Peter mention tongues? I'm asking questions. Did he mention tongues there? Okay, so what's Peter doing? Men and brethren, hearken to my words, or pay attention to my explanation. What is he about to explain? What is happening at that particular point in time? So 120 people were speaking. if what they were doing was speaking tongues alone, look at Peter's explanation. It shall come to pass, and as they said, God, I'll pour out of my spirit. Now, if you go back to the original text, Peter has added a word that was not in the original prophecy. If you go back to the original prophecy, go to Joel 2. Those words are important. Joel 2, 28. Joel 2, 28. And it shall come to pass afterward. Notice Joel's language, afterward. Now, Peter is explaining Joel's prophecy. Why is Peter explaining? Because Peter has been taught by Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. So Jesus has spent 40 days explaining those same prophecies to them. So Peter, being a diligent student of Jesus, is quoting what Joel said, but he's quoting it in the light of how he was taught by Jesus. So notice the language of Joel. It shall come to pass afterwards. That's what Joel said. How did Peter explain? It shall come to pass in the last days. So Joel's afterwards is Peter's last days. Are we together this morning? That's important. Now look at carefully. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Now let's go back to Acts 2 and verse 17. Let's look at how Peter said it. Notice, I'll pour out my spirit. But look at what Peter said. I'll pour out of my spirit. Can you see the difference? I'll pour out of. So he added the word of, and that's significant. Because to pour out of is even from just to pour out. The question is, where is the spirit now located? That's the question. The spirit was now located in the 120. They had the spirit. Say, I have the spirit. Say, I have the spirit. So to pour out would mean the spirit is giving expression through the 120 men. How did the spirit give the expression to start with? They began to speak with other tongues. Who gave utterance? The spirit. Where was the spirit? Inside them. So Peter is explaining, because Joel spoke of it as a prophecy that will be fulfilled. Peter is speaking of it as a prophecy that is now fulfilled. Are we together? Notice the language is important. It shall come to pass. So we can stay on the same page with Peter and say it this way. It has now come to pass. What God said. What did he say? I will pour out of my spirit. Where is my spirit? Inside of men. So the pouring out of God's spirit now will be the expression of God's spirit through men. Say amen. Because if you follow the language, this is how it appears. It's as though something just comes from above, just falls upon you. That's not what it's talking about. No, it is men who give expression to the Spirit of God who now lives in them because they have believed. Now, Peter says, I'll pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. What is Peter explaining? What happened in Acts 2:4? What happened? They were all filled and began to speak with other tongues. But Peter says, what Joel said is what has happened. What did Joel say? Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. What does it mean to prophesy? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14, and I read from verse 2. Alright, it says, for he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks what? Mysteries. But he that prophesies, notice, and if you're not careful, you will think he's talking about two different people. He's talking about one person. The person who spoke in tongues is speaking to God. As long as he's speaking in tongues, he's addressing one party and one party alone. He's addressing God. He that speaks in tongues is not speaking to men, or men are not his audience. He's speaking to God, for no man understandeth. The word him is italicized. No man understands. Howbeit in the spirit, or by the energy of the spirit, he's speaking what? Mysteries. What does the word mystery mean? The word mystery means that it will require interpretation, period. That's what it means. It doesn't mean mysterious. It just means what requires interpretation. That's what it means. So he's saying something that requires interpretation. If he's speaking to God, it does not require interpretation, because God is the audience. Because God knows all things. There's nothing mysterious to God. There are no mysteries to God. God knows all things. Hallelujah. Now notice, but he that prophesies. So two things, two activities, two different audiences. To speak in tongues, you are addressing God. To prophesy, you are addressing men. Are we together this morning? Now, so look at it this way. He that speaks in tongues is not speaking to men, or men are not his primary audience. He's speaking to God. Now, no man understands, including the person speaking. So the first question I want to answer is this. If you say, Pastor, I don't know what I'm saying, you just fulfill scripture. Let God be true. Hallelujah. You just fulfill scripture. You are not strange. You are in line with the truth. No man understandeth means you are included in one of the men who doesn't understand. That's what it means. Can tongues be understood when you had interpretation? Yes. But you are speaking mysteries. No man understands. Why? The person you are addressing is God, not men. So it is perfectly okay for men not to understand because they are not the subject of your address in the first place. That's important. But notice what he that speaketh. He speaks about something done deliberately. Not that he that is made to speak. He that speaketh. But he that prophesies, audience has changed. You don't prophesy to God. Have you prophesied to God before? That God very rarely I say unto you. Even the angels will laugh. And Abraham said, are you joking? So now, he that prophesies speaks unto men edification. That is exhortation. I mean comfort. Verse 4. He that speaks in tongues does what? Edifies himself. But he that prophesies edifies the church. Now look at verse 5. I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he what? Interpret. Notice that the church may receive edifying. So now, let me put a pause. The emphasis in 1 Corinthians 14 is a church gathering, a church setting. He's not talking about operation of utterances in your personal life. It's a church setting. It's a church gathering. So, there is a time. All of us will come together. We speak in tongues. Is it wrong? No. Who are we talking to? God. It's a choice, the decision. Can we switch to talk to men or to bring men into what we're saying? Yes, we can. So, in Acts chapter 2, something happened. They were gathered together. Before men came, they spoke with tongues. All everybody spoke with tongues. But when men came, Peter began to explain using Joel's prophecy. What did Joel say was taking place? Because if Peter uses Joel's prophecy, it means Joel fully explains what was taking place that day. What was taking place? Joel said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall what? Prophesy. Again, what is you need to prophesy? Go back to 1 Corinthians again. Let's do back and forth to make it easier. Verse 5. I will that you all speak with tongues. That is, I'll be glad if everyone continued to participate and spoke in tongues, but rather, the word rather means emphasize this instead, or let this be your priority, but rather that you prophesy. Now, I want you to speak with tongues when it comes to church setting, church gathering, in order that you may end up with prophecy. It says, for greater is it that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except if you remove that phrase alone, you create another doctrine. That's not true. So you put everything together. Except he interprets his part of the statement. So what he's saying is this. I want you all to give yourself to speaking in tongues. When it comes to a church setting, I want you to use tongues as an avenue of getting to prophecy. Hallelujah. Look at what this is again. For greater is he now. The word greater actually does not emphasize the individual. Emphasizes what the individual is doing. Amen. That you spoke in tongues and I interpreted doesn't mean I'm greater. But I'm carrying out a greater function. The reason is because I am giving meaning to what you just said. Now, if I don't give meaning, you are speaking only to God, you can't be addressing men. But if I give meaning to what you have said, who am I addressing? I'm addressing men. And if men are edified, God says, I have done a greater what? Work. I'm not greater than you, I've only done what? A greater work. So Paul is trying to explain doctrine when it comes to utterance. Notice the language he uses, don't miss something. He's speaking of utterance as though it's something within our purview. In other words, something within our control. Something you chose to do and you chose not to do. You know, that's not the understanding we have about those things. The understanding is that, you know, speak of just fall upon me suddenly. Particularly if you come from some of those, you know, settings, you know what I'm talking about? I've been delivered. Are you delivered? Yes, because I told you before that the setting we grew up in, we used to have videos one night after the other. And out of about 14, 15 of us, at least out of 14, 15, 9 will be women. And during the meeting sometime, between meeting start at 10, it went around 4. Between 1 and 2, people will prophesy. And that was my first exposure to prophecy. And whenever they want to prophesy, it's a lot of drama that we thought it was the spirit. And whatever culture you're exposed to is what you will follow. Have you noticed that? If you want to white garment setting, certain settings like that. You know when it comes to the spirit came, you know, the spirit came, or is in the spirit, or the spirit is. And even the dance is special. And then, The one who just start with a scream. God wants to speak. He should just speak. He should not just scream at us. Now, the person too must have learned for somebody also. How we understand? A friend of mine said that the way he learned is that where he first started prophesying, the people he used to see, they start prophesying by standing up, they end up on the floor. So what will you also do? You too will end up on the floor. May you not eat your head in the process, but because that's what you saw. And you're a product of what you continually see. Now, Paul speaks this way. I would that you all speak. Now, you didn't shake when you were speaking tongues. You should not shake when you're interpreting. Hallelujah. If, as a pastor of this church, the way I taught you, if you were interpreting, you've seen me interpret, haven't you? Then you might go, and then the first thing, thank another apostle to you, my son, my son, my son. And you think God speaks three times like that? And you are complicating what is simple. You are importing something. Because that's not what the Bible says. That's how you can be this calm. Hallelujah. And prophesy. Because we are all discussing as though, see, in the Corinthian church, there was an abundance of speaking in tongues. I mean, like somebody said one time that, have you seen brethren before? I mean, I saw those things on campus. Excesses. You agree each other. Preskede. Greeting. Malimo. What's going on? That's excess of what kinds? They were doing that in church at Corinth. They were doing that. No meaning. No interpretation. Greeting. Presk. Malimo. As in, what's going on? They were excesses in church at Corinth. Excesses. So Paul needed to caution them that, listen, the aim is to edify the church. If you're not edifying the church, you're not using, you're abusing the operation of the Spirit. You know, the implication is this, that you so have a level of control you can abuse. You can abuse. And interesting, God is not intimidated by your abuse. He will still do what is right. He will still use people. He won't say, from now on, tongues are ceased. Let us cease. No, he won't. He won't be intimidated. You are like little children handling an inheritance. You will need to grow. So you stop some practices over time. So the sister who used to scream, after a while, she will also learn that, sister, you prophesied. The Holy Ghost used you. But that's you. The prophecy is of God. The drama is of you. Can we reduce drama, please? there was abundance. I will that you all speak. So it's encouraging. I do not want you to stop speaking. Because this is important. Now, if you stop speaking, you won't get into what God wants you to get into. Where is God going? What does God want? I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall what? Prophesy. Where will you begin? You will not speak with tongues. So in the early church, when they came together and people came, at that time, they had stopped speaking in tongues. They were interpreting their tongues. It was interpretation people heard and said, we do hear them speak the wonderful works of God. Are we together now? So because if what they were hearing was tongues, Paul tells you, he that speaks in tongues is not speaking to men. He's not. He's speaking to God. When men came around to marvel what was happening, they switched to what? Interpretation. If you don't agree, let me show you another text. Look at 22, verse 23, 1 Corinthians 2, 14, verse 23. So it says, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place. Are we together in one place this morning? Now on the day of Pentecost, they met those conditions. They were all together with one accord. One accord means the reason why they gathered was because they were following instructions of the Savior. They were to tarry together. That's what Jesus told them when he ascended. So they tarried together. They were together in one place with one accord. So one accord means on the same instruction, based on the same teaching, for the same purpose. That's why they gathered together. 120. We're more than 120 this morning. But look at what it says. If the whole church therefore be come together in one place and all speak with tongues and they are coming, notice nothing is wrong if the whole church speak with tongues until somebody comes in. If the whole church be come together, and all, say all, So that already tells you, if you're a member of the church, one of the ways we know is that you can speak with tongues. If you are the old church, Paul calls you brethren. What's that word again? Adelphos. It means of the same womb, of the same parentage. You came from the womb of the Spirit. You are born of the Spirit. Part of the sign that you are born of the Spirit, that you can what? Speak. Now, that you can doesn't necessarily mean you will. How many of you agree? There are people who are, say, believers. I met a young man some years ago, and his brother, younger brother, brought him to me. Some of those very conk brothers. When I say conk, doctrinally conk. He has listened to all kinds of things. Said that you speak before, but you have stopped speaking. You know, many people were like that in the body. They spoke before they stopped speaking. You now wonder, did the tongue go away? Is it lost now? Something happened, an experience took place, or they heard someone. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? So they heard something. And when they heard, they stopped. Now, that they stopped doesn't mean the Holy Ghost is no longer present. No. The Spirit is still there. Utterance is still there, but they're no longer yielding to the utterance. That's where the problem is. So, when he brought the young man to me, that's how, you know, they've laid hands upon him, and I said, I had the hurt on me, said that I shouldn't lay hands on him. So he sat at the distance, I sat at the distance, deliberately I put the distance to him, and I began to explain God's word. While I was speaking, the post out speaking, the thing was always there. There was a constraint on the inside. Something restraining from what expressed, because wrong belief systems can stop you from flowing with the things of God. Wrong belief systems. The most common I've ever encountered in this life is people who think that God will make them speak. It's like saying, God will make me believe. There's no such thing. You hear, you act. They believed, they began. They began means initiative is part of what you receive as a believer at a new birth. It means you can begin. Why are you beginning? Because you have believed. What do you believe? That you have the Spirit. Say, I have the Spirit. And Jesus said, same thing Jesus said, if I have the Spirit, I will prophesy, and I will start in prophecy by speaking in tongues. It's very simple. So if I don't want to arrive at prophecy, maybe I shouldn't speak with tongues. Because Joel said, God said, I will pour out my Spirit. I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So what they were doing on the day of Pentecost was, they spoke with tongues and interpreted, and people heard what they were saying. That was what took place on the day of Pentecost. Now, why did they prophesy? Because people came. Was it compulsory that they interpreted? No. It was because people came. Pastor, every day I pray in the Spirit, I don't know what I'm saying. Welcome to the club. Are you speaking to yourself? No. You're speaking to who? To God primarily. If God is the audience, you're speaking mysteries in the Spirit. Many times for you in your private prayer life, interpretation will often come like thoughts. You want to take a step or a decision. Suddenly an idea seems to come up. You prayed it out in the morning when you and God were discussing, and it gave you wisdom. That wisdom was communicated via the tongues you were speaking, and suddenly came to your understanding later in the day. Often as that interpretation comes, it doesn't necessarily come by utterance as you are praying. Why? You are rubbing your minds with a mind that is higher than any mind on earth. So the way of wisdom is in your relationship with Him. That's what's taking place. So go back to that 1 Corinthians 14. Look at what it says. I want to look at the practice. So you see, this applies to Acts chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 14, let me read verse 23. If therefore the whole church become together into one place, and all speak with tongues. See, we cannot speak with tongues. Thank you. Ask your neighbor, can you speak with tongues? Can you prove it right now? Can you go ahead and prove it? I'm waiting to hear. If somebody is not speaking in tongues beside you, note the person. So we know how to help the person later. Speak boldly. I'm bold with things of God. Say, I'm bold with things of God. See, this is my inheritance. The Lord gave me this inheritance. I'm part of that inheritance. Glory to God. Always be bold. Don't speak like you are murmuring and complaining. That's why some people even pray. Like, how everything's fine. No. If therefore the whole church become together in one place, and all, beautiful, all speak with tongues, all, and they're coming those that are unlearned, that's those who are not taught, and or unbelievers. Two different sets of people, those who are unlearned and those who are unbelievers. Will they not say, you are mad? Question, are you mad? No. What would their conclusion be? I am mad. Why? They don't understand what you are saying. So if all they did in Acts chapter 2 was tongues, the people would have said, they are mad. What did people say? They doubted. What does this mean? And some say they are full of new wine, but nobody said they are mad. What does that tell you? They were not just doing tongues. They were doing what? Tongues and interpretation. Do you agree now? So that's what happened in Acts chapter 2, and that's very important. But where did Peter say they are going to prophesy? Which is tongues plus what? Interpretation of tongues. That's where they're going. Now, look at the next verse. Look at what it says. So, but if all prophesy, who is the all that will prophesy? The all that spoke with tongues. Now, Paul is speaking as though they can switch. They can stay with it. We had prayer meeting yesterday between 8 and 12. And people led us to pray. I remember when Pastor Tino was praying. Even though it's a prayer meeting, we can pray in tongues throughout. At the inception of this church, we used to have vigils where we prayed in tongues throughout. If you were a member of this church at that time, it's 6 hours in tongues. Nobody comes to interrupt you. We just come to encourage you. Okay? So sometimes in the middle of service, we'll be led to add a little interpretation and sometimes minister to some people. But usually, it's 10 to 4. And it's tongues up to sometimes 10 to 5. That's how the church started. Amen. We hardly do that again now. So we're coming for prayer meeting on Saturday, 8 to 12. Most of our prayer will be in this. Why are we praying that way? Because we're praying beyond the circumference of our understanding. That's what you're doing. Your mind is limited in what you can capture with respect to God's plans and purpose. It's limited. So when people say, when I'm praying in the morning, must I pray, Lord, in tongues? You should. Should I pray in understanding also? You should too. Because understanding helps your mind. But the more you are persuaded from the scriptures that to pray in the spirit must be something unique and special to the new creation, must be a way of appropriating the inheritance that God has given to me in Christ Jesus beyond, because for instance now, I can pray beyond my own understanding of a situation if I pray in the spirit. How many of you agree with that? So if I pray only my understanding, praying the understanding is good. Most of our fathers in the Orthodox churches, some of them prayed 1 hour more than 1 hour in their understanding. Sometimes I say, well, how they did. And they were even inspired by the Spirit. I hope you know that. They were inspired by the Spirit. They were. But you see, the issue is that you cannot pray the whole counsel of God in your understanding. But your understanding is limited. So God gave you His Spirit to energize, to help you pray out facts, situations, plans, things beyond the circumference of your understanding. So that you are not limited. In other words, that you do not know or you are limited in understanding should not be an excuse when it comes to prayer. So He gave you the Spirit. For the Spirit to help you, to enable you to pray beyond the scope of your what? Understanding. Hallelujah. When I was getting ready for service here, everybody was looking for how to influence where they were going. So, you know, the Bible says you can even try to use scripture on God. You know what I mean? That what is ever exact, when you pray, believe that you see them and you shall have them. I pray and believe that I will serve in Lagos. I pray and believe. What is ever exact, I desire to serve in Lagos. And then, I began to pray in the Spirit. That was my mistake. Yeah, because when I began to pray in spirit, the more I prayed, the further away the Lagos was to me. Because I said in understanding, when I now began to pray in spirit, and I wanted to say, I pray and believe that I was serving, Lagos did not come out. And from experience, I knew, they have done me. I am done for. You know, when you are trying to say it, you are trying to use force, and the words are not coming. Lagos could not come out. And I know what it means. It means at least you are not serving Lagos. So what did I say? Let your will be done, O Lord. Guess where I served? I remember when I was going for service here, the bus was the first time. That was the first time I was going, so I didn't know how to get there. So I took 2 buses. After 12 hours on the road, we slept in the mosque overnight when the car stopped. And after 12 hours, we're now about to continue. When it was 15 hours, my heart departed from home. That's soon now, very soon. I just determined because I have never been that far away before in my life. 12 hours then, 15 hours, it was 18 hours before we got there, the other side of Nigeria. If I was given a choice, that is, if God told me, I won't agree. I just told somebody who was explaining some hardship. I said, there's a plan that God has in mind. Just follow the plan. Because that place, I served in the research institute. Good place and everything. Trees were planted. I've never been in a place where you see trees planted and no breeze is blowing. I've not seen before. No breeze. I understand what it means to be under a curse. I'm serious. Breeze was not blowing. You will take your bath. The water will stay on you. It won't dry. It will be coming out from the walls. Except you are inside the AC. What? I don't want to go into the story of what happened, why that place is like that, because something happened. The minister of the gospel shook up the souls, the dirt on the soles of his feet, because he was attacked. Some things happened. That's the first time in my life. You know, you have seen sandstorm in documentaries. I saw it live. You will not see sun again. Everywhere will be pitch dark and it's sand. Everywhere. You know what a sandstorm is? People hide in their houses. It can enter every crevice, every corner. Sand. Let's leave that one. Hallelujah. What I'm trying to say is this. I knew by the Spirit as I was praying. Now, was the will of God for me to go and serve? It was the will of God. But there was the other side of some things I needed to do ministry-wise. I connected with the particular ministry that God wanted to get me involved in everything. And I did. So, but it was as I was praying in the Spirit. So if God left me pre understanding, what do you think I'll be claiming? Was I supposed to come to Lagos? Yes, not that year. Not that year. I went to Lagos sometime after. That wasn't the time for it. But because you put your life in God's hands and you talk with him, and as you're discussing, because he that speaks in tongues, he's not speaking to men, he's speaking to God. So even when you make a decision to go south and you should go north, when you are discussing with God, God will organize how your lips will say not. I hope you understand how you, if you are about to go and marry the wrong person because it's TDH and his name is Kola, and you should marry Oluwasegun, and Oluwasegun is busy praying, and your partners in destiny, as you are praying in the Spirit will organize how you and Kola will never agree. Oh, you are not for me. Are you me this morning? Because when you pray in the Spirit, you pray beyond the circumference of, you know what, your understanding is limited. What should you be next year? What are the things you should do this year? What are the opportunities that should come your way next season? What are the associations you should have? You pray those things out in the Spirit. Associations. Places to go. Places to be. People to meet. Decisions that you're going to make that are crucial to God's plan for your life. You can't pray those things out in understanding. But you pray out in the Spirit. God sometimes will give you understanding, which is interpretation will come sometimes. But the secret things belong to the Lord. God. That means he's not everything that he will allow you to hear. The conversation between your spirit and God's spirit will go on, because if some of us know, he will scatter it. He will scatter it. So God in his wisdom, look at what he says. If all prophesy, and the coming one that believes not, or online, is convicted of all, is judged of all. Notice what happens next. Verse 25. Thus are the secrets of his heart made one, manifest, and so falling on his face, he worship God and repeat what that God is in you of a truth. Hallelujah. You know, we finished a prayer meeting yesterday, and I was talking to Pastor Jimmy that one of my disciples came from Abeokuta to see me. He told me he was coming. He was bringing somebody that had a particular challenge, that things were not working for him. That he's prayed with him, but nothing is still working. It's still difficult for him. Things have just died down. So he's bringing the person, come and see me. The pastor, I want to just minister to him. So they sat in my office. And I said, okay, fine, let's pray. And as I closed my eyes, how do I usually start that kind of prayer? I pray in tongues. So I just spoke in tongues. Notice, if all you do is tongues, we did not say you are mad. But if all prophesy, so the person who spoke in tongues, she what? Interpret. When you interpret, what does the Bible call it? You are prophesying. So the minute I said, let's pray, and I spoke in tongues, I just saw what was it. So I stopped. I'm talking about maybe 3 seconds. I just stopped. And I said, you stopped giving in church. You became a big boy. You stopped giving in church. He looked at me. He said, yes. I said, that's where the problem came from. I said, now, let me tell you what's going to happen. God wants to entrust a lot of money to you, but don't be a big boy. Be a small boy before God. Don't let money rule you. Now, his friend did not know that's what happened. Except the Holy Ghost reveals. Even the minister is naked, is helpless. We just be praying and praying and praying and praying. Meanwhile, that's the problem. You know, if some money came, it's I feel like, this is too big for church now. I was church. You have arrived. And everybody has their limit, you know. Your limit may be, some people's limit is 20 million. Some people 20 million, they're very good, they're sober. Some of them million. Pardon me. I'm in Monaco right now. I'm a bit busy, some of the contracts started. So, tell them at the department that I can't make it. Tell them, God, we understand. I can't make it right now. So the issue is that God really is not about the money. It's about your heart. Because if he has your heart, then resources won't be a problem. So it's about God trusting. Now, even his friend did not know, because they were in the same business. He didn't know that was where the issue was. Except God reveals. So notice, he said, those are the secrets of his heart made what? manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship and report that God is where? In you of a truth. If I stayed with tongues, he wouldn't understand. He wouldn't understand. But to prophesy in this instance was that there was a revelation gift at work. So a word of knowledge, this is what the issue is with Israel. Tell him this so that he can repent. And then so that I prayed that whatever, because Satan took advantage of that particular posture that he took. And I prayed for my lay hands and said, from now on, there's a release. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, the other friend came to testify for something else entirely, just dragged him along. Because he too had some issues before. And some of us who saw him yesterday may not remember. He came in January for Holy Ghost meeting. So during the meeting, I told them to go and call him at the back. He was struggling with certain things. So he came to report that he just got a car. And he brought the car. So, Samatile Martino Kupo, Nefite Natie, Neshitanaya, Nankutumu, Sifre, Eta, Eta, Eta. With God, nothing is impossible. Set the date for the wedding. God will foot the bill. I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now imagine if I stopped in tongues. Well, you know what I said. Stop asking God to bring the provision. Start asking him to order your steps. Pray. Say, order my steps. Order my steps. Order my steps. For there are people looking for you that you have not seen. And as you pray, order my steps. It will order your steps to those people. And then with those people will come the resources that you have always sought. And everything will work out just well and just fine. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, you are a bit concerned that your mother is not well. And fear has gripped your heart. You're thinking, the way things are going, I pray she doesn't die now. No, she will not die. The enemy is tempting you and coming to your mind with thoughts. Cast those thoughts down and say, God, you are my helper, you are my redeemer. Help me. Save her, heal her, and make her whole. And all shall be well. All shall be well. But she's not going to die now. She's not going to die now. So you have to stand your ground and fight. I don't know who that is. If you're the person, raise your hand very well. I've seen you. I've seen you. She will not die. She will not die. She will not die now. I know there's that fear. Wow. She's not going to die. She will live in the name of Jesus. Can we pray for 8 minutes in songs? Hey, just pray. She will not die now. She will not die now. There's something uppermost in your heart also. You want her to be saved. You want her to be saved. God will save her. God will save her. God will save her. She will be delivered. She will be saved. She won't cross to that side until she receives Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus, she will tarry. She will tarry until she accepts the gospel. She will accept salvation. She will accept the gospel after salvation. In the name of the Lord Jesus, she will not die now. She will live. She will live. She will live. In the name of the Lord Jesus, she will not die now. She will accept the gospel. She will accept Christ. And she will live. She will live. The power of the enemy is broken. The yoke of sickness is gone. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. There's someone that has been... The best way I can describe is that you have been falling down recent times. As though something just trips you up. You just keep falling. You just keep falling. That's the best way I can describe what the Spirit of God showed me. As though you just notice that like 3 different occurrences, you just tripped and fell. You just tripped and fell. Who is the person? That's the reason I'm here. I can see you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's the enemy at work. That's the enemy at work. That's the enemy at work. In the name of Jesus, you are delivered. By the power of God that's in the church, in the local assembly, you are delivered. No more stumbling, no more tripping, no more falling. You are held upright. By the power of God, in the name of Jesus. Okay, so where are we now? It says, so those are the secrets of his heart. So when they interpreted, who interpreted? All those who spoke in tongues. They began to prophesy, which is interpretation. The secrets of his heart were made word manifest. Then it will fall down. The language he understands is prophecy or inspired utterance in a known language. That's the language he understands. So they spoke the language he understood. After speaking, first of all, the language that only God understands. That means it was a switch. They chose to switch. It was a choice. So God has brought you into a realm, a place of inheritance where you can speak to God in tongues and then you can receive interpretation of the things said that will benefit and edify you and edify others as a deliberate exercise of your will. When you begin, they began to speak the word other tongues. as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's important. The Spirit gave them utterance, but they began. Now, that phrase, they began, means you have to initiate. You can speak, I can speak with tongues. See, I can speak with tongues. See, I can speak with tongues. See, I will speak with tongues. It should be a conscious exercise of your will, because it's an inheritance that God gave to you. Now, let me take our mind back to something very important. Look at Mark chapter 16 again. I'm going to round up shortly. Mark chapter 16. Are you hearing something this morning? So the question, should I speak? Must I speak? Might not should be answered. You should speak. Do you want to benefit from the grace of God? Do you walk in the fullness of God's plan for your life? You should speak, because your understanding is limited. And God has given you something that's beyond your capacity. I usually say, tongues is a holy bandwidth that covers more, with more vocabulary than your natural language can cover. It covers much more. And the challenge of tongues is that what you have not said in the Spirit, you have not said. So we can't rely on your man. Mark 16 from verse 15, quickly. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. That word means language never spoken before. So when I speak with tongues, I am cooperating with God's Spirit to push out words. Vocals are being expressed through me, which is an expression of God's will, God's plan for me per time. That's what I'm doing. And it's so simple, it's so easy, you can miss it. And now, because you don't understand, people say that this one you're speaking, your own is not tongues. Pastor Tolu's own is original, your own is not. Because of the way it sounds. It's not about the way it sounds. It is order, because it is you cooperating with the Spirit of God to push out words. Will your vocal cords be included? Yes. Is the source coming from your mind? No. That's the difference. And if we had the opportunity to do etymology, I would have gone to how the process itself begins, how you can start the process. You know, people have done all kinds of things when you can get people feel. It means like, shout hallelujah 7 times. And as you are shouting, you start speaking. Have you been there before? Like a formula. Say amen, say amen, say amen, say amen very fast. You start speaking. That's not how you happen. So it's like, let us trick you into speaking. You don't need to use tricks. Let them understand it is other tongues. Why is it other? It's a language you've not learned before. Your tongue is slicing through your teeth and sound is being pushed out that is coming by the help of God's Spirit. He gives you or transmits his inspiration, but your mouth will say those words. So it is God and man laboring together. Hallelujah. It is God and man laboring together to bring forth certain sounds upon the earth. I also like to put it this way. Tongues is one major way the unseen man of the heart announces his presence to your senses. Tongues is another way. The unseen man of the heart, that part of you that is unseen, announces his presence to your senses. Fear words, fear sounds that are coming out. So anyway, even if you think God has forsaken you, as long as you can speak in tongues, he has not. Because it's by the Spirit. Say it's by the Spirit. Say it's by the Spirit. That's important. It's by the Spirit. It's by the Spirit. And that's very crucial. Jude, in verse 18. Let's look at one more before we... there's some things I wanted to do today. We couldn't get there, but let's see how it goes, whether we're going to continue. Amen. Hallelujah. Jude, in verse 18. Jude has only one chapter. I seem to want to focus on why it's necessary for you to speak today, because people have asked, if I'm praying, can I bring my understanding? Well, the challenge is that your understanding is so limited. It's so limited. Like I was saying yesterday, during the prayer meeting, a portion of the meeting, Pastor Tunde came and led us in prayer for like an hour or so, and it was by tongues and interpretation. He will pray in the Spirit, he will speak with tongues, and then he'll give instructions in the understanding so that we understand. That was to help our mind as we prayed. The same prayer I did, we could have prayed only in tongues all through. So sometimes when we have a mixed gathering, we do both. We pray in the Spirit, we pray understanding also. That means we pray in the interpretation so that people can understand what we're what saying. Hallelujah. Sometimes it helps people to flow better, isn't it? Yes, it does. And one gives back to the other. Understanding doesn't give back to tongues. It's tongues that gives back to what? Understanding. That's the way it works. So, Jude. Look at Jude. Verse 17. So that context can be there. Look at verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Well, there's no other day or season where there are mockers like they are now, mocking the church, mocking the works of God. They are all over the place on social media. Isn't it? They mock anything mockable. You know? And what is shocking sometimes is that you see believers, and I don't understand how you will judge the church from what the world is saying. The world that does not know the church. Jesus said that it was the world, the world knew him not. So I don't understand why a believer would take his opinion of who he is from the world. The world doesn't even know what it means to be saved. And I'm blessing you, and you say you are saved. Maybe you say you are a Christian. Does he know what a Christian is? And you are getting worried. You have a standard that is not Bible standard. And you are taking your definition of your identity or your description from the world. Does that make any sense? It doesn't. Let the world be with the world. You stay with the word of God. So, this is what the apostles told us. They told us they should mock us in the last time. We will walk after their own ungodly lust. Look at verse 19. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. Can somebody tell me how that phrase for having not the Spirit? Sorry? What does it mean not to have not the Spirit? Can we say unbeliever? Can we say not born again? All right. So, Romans chapter 8 verse 9, what does it say? But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. It shall be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So notice that these be they who separate themselves. They are sensual. That word is sense-ruled. Having not the Spirit. So there are people who are not sense-ruled. They are spirit-ruled. There are people who are limited in their senses. They pick every impulse from their senses. But there are people who pick impulses and leadings of the Spirit. So it gives a clear demarcation, clear distinction. These people will submit themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. Look at verse 20. It's talking about you and I now. But ye, beloved, say I'm beloved. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying where? In the Holy Ghost. What does it mean to pray in the Holy Ghost? To pray in tongues. And this is, but you, beloved, you that you are beloved of God, you that you have experienced God's loving kindness in Christ Jesus, you build up yourself. That is, edify yourself. That is, let comfort arise. Let assurance well up on your inside as you pray in the Spirit. What are you doing? You are building yourself up on the realities of your faith as you pray in the Holy Ghost or you pray in the Spirit. Now look at the next verse. It says, keep yourselves where? In the love of God. You are the one to do the keeping. You keep yourselves within the circumference of God's love. And what is the love of God? Look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. Glory to God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the prop. This love of God. He sent his son. Our sins are taken care of. There's therefore not no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's what the Bible says. I'm to keep myself in that place. In that sphere of existence, I keep myself. I pray in the Holy Ghost. I pray in the Holy Ghost. It's a sanctification from the world. It's a separation from the pollution that's in the world. I keep myself in that love. I stay conscious of the love of God. What is God's love? Not that I love God, but that he loved me. So the love of God is what he initiated that I responded to, not what I initiated. So the strength of my relationship with God is not how much I love God, it's how much he loves me. Hallelujah. Say, God comes through for me in all situations, at all times. He loves me so much. Romans 8 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is it not God that justifies? Who is it that condemns? Is it not Christ that died? It's a rhetorical question. Those are rhetorical questions. Romans chapter 8. He spared not his son. He delivered him up for us. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Then look at the next verse. It says, who shall lay anything? Can any accusation stand against you? He said, no. Is it not God that justified? In other words, he did a thorough job when he was justifying you. So that no accusation can stand in the way. Who will dare to condemn when it is Christ who died? He's one who is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God who also what? Maketh intercession for us. And I told us prior, when you hear Christ is making intercession for you, please, doesn't mean he's laying down to pray. He has assumed the powers of the Godhead. Who will he pray to? He's not praying. The phrase to make intercession means to present a sacrifice on your behalf. So to make intercession means a go-between, somebody who does something on behalf of another. So he's saying, Jesus being alive in his resurrection is his intercession for you. That means, as long as you see him alive, everything you ask the Father will be done for you. Hallelujah. That is his intercession for you. There's prayer of intercession. That's not what he's talking about here. Then there's intercession. Hallelujah. There's faith, isn't it? There's prayer of faith. Are they the same thing? No. There's principle of faith. There's what? Prayer of faith. The principle of faith can stand alone. The prayer of faith cannot stand alone. I hope you understand. So, intercession can stand alone. Principle. The prayer of intercession cannot what? Stand alone. I hope you understand the difference. So, who maketh intercession means he's been alive. It's intercession for us. So, he's alive for your sake. He's alive for my sake. Hebrews 7:25 says, he's able to save to the uttermost. Those who come to God, that is his intercession. That means there's no limit to what his power will do in your life, in my life. There's no situation beyond his being alive to stand on your behalf. Lift your hands this morning and thank him. See, when I pray in the spirit, the intercession of Jesus is availing for me. He's speaking for me. Because he's alive, no accusation can stand against me. Because he's alive, no sorcery can work in my life. Because he's alive, no divination can work against me. No spell, no witchcraft can tamper with my life. Because he's alive, because he lives, I live also. I live in the strength of his resurrection. I live in the power of his being alive. I'm alive because he's alive. Give him praise and give him thanks this morning. Give him thanks this morning. I'll pray with the spirit. I'll pray with understanding also. I will sing in the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. Glory to his name forever.